That revolution starts right now. You are listening to The Real Issue on KZFR Radio. This is Sue Hildebrand. The Real Issue is a public affairs talk show, and we are here every Wednesday night from 6 until 7 p.m. This edition of The Real Issue is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Baker's Birkenstock, featuring more than 40 brands of footwear, socks, purses, and hats. Baker's Birkenstock has been serving our community for over 40 years with locations at 333 Broadway Street in downtown Chico, right in the same building as KZFR, as well as at 691 First Street in Paradise. You can also find them on Facebook. I do want to mention that I do want to thank Ray Lager for hosting this program last week. I didn't change my notes from last week, so as I looked at it, it says, "This is Ray Lager," and I thought, oh gosh, I grabbed the wrong script. But anyway, I do want to do a shout-out to Ray Lager. He is always one to step up when a favor is needed, and I am more than happy to pay back that favor, I think, next month when he needs me to sit in for him. But Ray was here last week continuing our midterm election coverage. Just so you know, our rule over here at The Real Issue is that every candidate is welcome to come onto this program and share their views with you, the listener, and the voter. I've reached out to many of the candidates throughout Butte County, and you have heard from many of them so far. But if there's a candidate or two that you would like to hear from, contact their campaign and encourage them to come on to The Real Issue, because as I mentioned, I have invited as many as I could find contact information for. Maybe I missed a few, but of course everyone is welcome here on The Real Issue. So the Chico Enterprise Record just this morning published a list of candidate forums in the paper. Happy to share with you, and I'll mention this in the next it starts next week. There are scheduled forums over the next week. Just to quickly let you know, the Oroville City Council, the Oroville Mayor, and the Treasurer will be a candidate forum on September 21st, which is a week from today, and you can watch that on Zoom. The very next day, Paradise Town Council and Paradise Parks and Rec will be at the Paradise Town Hall building on September 22nd. Then the following week, on the 27th of September at the Masonic Hall here in Chico, there'll be a candidate forum first at 7 o'clock for the Chico City Council member candidates, and then at 8 o'clock, a Chico Unified School District forum. So that's appropriate for what we're going to talk about tonight. And then on the 28th, via Zoom, Gridley Unified School District candidates will have their forum. Congressional District 1 will be October 4th. However, Doug LaMalfa has not committed to running or to being at that forum, although I'm sure Max Steiner will be there. He has been on this program many times. Congressman LaMalfa was on this program a few years ago, and it'd be nice to have him back. He is always welcome. And then the last couple ones, Big City Council and Big School Board will have a candidate forum on October 6th. That'll be on Zoom. And State Assembly District on October 13th. And that will be on Zoom as well. So I'll keep you updated every week on what's coming up. So next week, just so you know, next Wednesday, Oroville City Council, Mayor and Treasurer, and that'll be on Zoom. But tonight, right here on The Real Issue, we will continue looking at the Chico Unified School Board of Trustees. Last week, Ray Lager played an interview I had with Tom Lando, who is also running for Chico Unified. We will, during this hour, first talk with incumbent school board member Eileen Robinson, who is running for her fourth term on the board, and she is running to represent, this time, Area 5. Then at the bottom of the hour, at 6:30, we will turn to Scott Thompson, who is running for the school board for the first time to represent Area 1. As a quick reminder, this election for the Chico Unified School Board, members will be, for the first time, will be running for newly drawn districts within the larger Chico School District. Last March, the school board adopted a map with 5 districts or areas that will be represented by each one of the school board members. So let's get started right away. Our first Chico Unified School Board candidate is Eileen Robinson. As I mentioned, Eileen Robinson is an incumbent. She has served on the school board for 12 years. She is running for her fourth term on the school board. I am so happy to welcome you back to The Real Issue, Eileen Robinson.
Hi, Sue. Good evening.
Yeah, Yeah, you have been on this program several times. Most often was for elections, of course, but often as we talked about the pandemic and what the school board was doing and what was going on around with that. We'll touch on that a bit during this conversation. So it's good to have you back again.
So thank you.
So Eileen Robinson, you are running for your fourth term as a school board member, and you were first elected in 2010. And I just found out that you were elected on your birthday in 2010. You have witnessed so many of the changes over the last few years. It seems like, gosh, it has been a very, very, very long time ago, especially for the last few years. Eileen Robinson, talk about, after having served for 12 years, why are you running again?
Oh, that's not difficult to describe at all. A school district, especially one that's K-12 and as large as ours, is a very dynamic institution. So there's always something to be expanded on, improved, dealt with, and that certainly is the case right now. So I wanted to run again to complete some of the things that I've started, like the facilities master plan. I continue to serve on that subcommittee, and we're about to begin planning for developing the next phase of the master plan so that we can move forward on the 7 schools that haven't been touched yet. We are coming out of the pandemic, as you mentioned, and there are just significant obstacles that are presented for our kids, our families, our staff, our instruction, and we have some really good plans that are moving forward, and I'd like to continue to make sure that that they're in place and funded and evaluated, and the stuff that isn't working, we set aside. And the stuff that is working, we make sure it continues. Mm-hmm. And then we can only do that, of course, if the school district stays fiscally sound and the money is well spent. And we're doing a good job of that right now. And so I want to stay on and continue to see the strength of the district built on.
Mm-hmm. Eileen Robinson, let's drill down a little bit. I mean, your response to that question of why are you running again for your fourth term, and your answer is because this is kind of a big project. And as you mentioned, you know, it's a very dynamic, the school district as large as ours, it's a very dynamic, it's expanding, it's improving. And you said, and you even mentioned that there are, as a result of the pandemic, there are significant obstacles. I want to go a little bit deeper into that. So if you could, you know, talk about, first of all, what are some of the obstacles in really continuing on? I don't want to say your legacy, because that sounds like you're ending your term, and you're not. You're continuing it. So, but what are some of the obstacles that you see that are getting in the way of, for example, the facilities master plan, the developing, you know, into this next phase? And what are the things that need to happen in the Chico Unified School District?
Well, for the facilities master plan, the first thing is we've just signed a contract to begin to evaluate again using the criteria that we used for the first four phases to identify which schools and what the program for expansion or improvement will look like, how much it will cost, and then we need to make a decision. Do we go back out to the voters for another bond? Because we have spent all of the money that the voters approved, and thank you, Chico voters, to do the first four phases. And if you live anywhere in Chico, you've driven by a lot of schools mm-hmm. that have had significant impact. That's the obstacle, is approving the plan and then deciding how to fund it. Mm-hmm. The other obstacles that are presented were, of course, the pandemic yeah. and the impacts socially, emotionally on our students. We have a lot of new things in place because of ESSER. ESSER dollars are the federal funds that were sent to the districts to help us overcome the impacts of the pandemic. We put in place a lot of counseling, a lot of instructional assistance to help in the classroom, in-service training for teachers, other programs like our CTE programs that we're supporting, although they're not new. They are continuing to be supported and funded by the district. And it's not so much that they're obstacles, it's just that if we don't pay attention to where we're putting our funds, stuff doesn't get moved forward as it should.
Yeah.
Yep. One of the things that our funding does is it, through the state sends in the way of the local control accountability plan, that's how the state funds our students, our high needs students. We have developed and adopted a program called MTSS, alphabet soup here.
Yeah.
It's the multi-tiered system of support. And what it means is that if a student has a need for additional academic support or social emotional support or a reading specialist, that will be put in place for them very quickly, because we want every student every day to get whatever they need to successfully move forward and stay at grade level or beyond. Because many of our students are beyond grade level and are challenged by our Academic Plus programs, our AP classes at the secondary level, our International Baccalaureate classes. So if a student is headed toward the A to G component of preparing themselves for university after high school, we want to make sure that those things are solidly in place by what we fund.
Eileen Robinson, as I'm listening to you, I have a whole sort of a can of worms of questions. I mean, just to listen, I have so many other ways I want to kind of drill down into this conversation. In some ways, you've been on the Board of Trustees for 12 years, and in some ways, you know, you have seen the progress, the expansion, and the improvement. And then we got hit with this pandemic, and schools were shut down, and everything was disrupted. And as you mentioned, socially, emotionally, academically, our kids today have really been struggling. And so, first of all, I want to ask you, how long? I mean, I know you can't, you know, you don't have a crystal ball, but how long, number one, do you think it's going to take for our students, for our community, for the school system to sort of overcome what happened during the pandemic? I mean, really the major fundamental disruption. And how do you see the school board? What are the issues that you need to be focusing on to assist our students to move along in a way that guarantees their success, even considering the pandemic disruption?
Yes, thank you for that question. And you're right, I don't have a crystal ball. What we hear through the educational, like California School Boards Association, is that it's a minimum of 5 years for the impacts to begin to subside and disappear. And I believe that's probably true. The thing is that a number of the things that we were beginning to see in the way of challenges for students were there before the pandemic hit. We were aware that some of our students, some of our high-need students especially, were beginning to fall behind, or had been behind and just weren't keeping up with the grade level, and there was a gap. So this is not a new problem. It's just the scale of the problem is new.
Right.
And it has to be continually evaluated. And that's what we do with our LCAP process, the Local Control Accountability Plan. Local Control Accountability Plan. We take a look at whether or not the monies that we're spending on the increased counseling, the increased age, the increased stuff, is it working? You look at your test results. You analyze them. Those test results and things are brought to the board, but they're also brought to the parents in meetings, especially between March and June of each year, and they're assessed. You know, parents weigh in. The administration weighs in, and they make the determination, do we need to make changes? If changes are warranted, that's what they bring to the board. And the board then makes the decision at two meetings in June on whether or not to make changes to the program that we approved the year before. But it's a live document. It's a live program. Nothing is ever stagnant, and you have to reassess constantly. We do know, for example, in taking a look at test results, we have a problem with our math scores. We have some grade levels that all of a sudden drop down in their math scores, especially going into sixth grade. We don't know why exactly. Mm-hmm. We know there's a problem. Mm-hmm. So now the question is, looking at what is it we're doing or not doing, that's causing our students to lose their strength in math at certain grade levels. So that's, you know, that's something we have to immediately look at again, take a look at what can we do, where do we need to focus. We're waiting for the state to approve the math framework. It didn't get approved this last year, so we're, you know, we're in a bit of a conundrum because you can't order new books and things when you don't have the framework approved yet. So we've always got something to take a look at. We know what's going really well. Our career technical education programs, my goodness, you know, we're competing at the state and national level and winning awards, the Skills USA Pleasant Valley, the TV video production team, just placed gold and bronze in the state competition, went to the national competition, and took silver at the national level. Our Chico High School technical drafting competed in nationals. Our photography took silver in state competition. Our medical technology kids, we had 21 of them, and they are doing an amazing job in being prepared to move into the medical field. So we know that we have an amazing array of career technical education courses and pathways, but the problem is, and there is a problem, the percentage of our kids that are actually completing those pathways isn't high enough.
Right.
Not every child is completing the whole pathway once they get into a CTE course. So again, there's a problem.
Right.
And we need to, through recommendations from administration and the teaching staff and our teachers that come together to look at problems in different departments and areas, let's, you know, get some recommendations together and bring them to the board if they need approval, and we'll evaluate and take a look and say yes, no, we like this, or please come back to us with a recommendation in a different direction. The board is pretty high up on the ladder. And we depend on all of the rungs of the ladder below us
right.
to get to the nitty-gritty.
Right. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Real Issue on KZFR Radio. I have Eileen Robinson on the phone with me. She is a sitting Chico Unified School Board of Trustees member. That's a mouthful. And she is also running for her fourth term, this time to represent Area 5. Chico Unified School District has last spring was divided up into five areas. And Eileen is running to represent Area 5. You know, Eileen Robinson, one of the things that I knew, but I had forgotten. You know, it's sort of like the before and after of the campfire here locally. And then it's the before and the after of the pandemic. I mean, everything is so stark in these major moments in our lives here. But one of the things that I did know because of you, one of the first times I ever met you was at a homeless conference here in Chico. And it was, well, it was years ago. It was before the campfire. And you were really educating people about, yes, homelessness, but let's focus on student homelessness. And it was the first time that I had really kind of not imagined, but sort of went, oh my gosh, how do we overlook that? And you have been an advocate for homelessness among the children in the Chico Unified School District. But you also mentioned that even before the pandemic, we've had major challenges, and I know that here in Butte County, we have some of the lowest ACEs scores in the state. I can't remember exactly what ACEs stands for, if you could tell us that. But also, it's just sort of adverse childhood experiences. Yes. And many listeners don't realize, but we have the one of, if not the highest, but close to the highest ACEs scores in the whole state. So,
yes.
Eileen, as we move forward, I want to just give you a moment to very specifically talk about that, because I think we forget that we had problems even before and even before,
yes.
and now they have been exacerbated. Talk about that.
Yes, thank you, Sue. Yes, we have what are qualified as over 500 homeless students, homeless and foster kids, but homeless students. Homeless is defined as a resident that the parent guardian of the student is not financially responsible for securing. So what we have is we have a significant, well, over 500 students that are considered homeless. They don't have a regular place to go after school every day. They don't know from week to week which relative or friend they will be staying with. They are on the move and nomadic, and those types of situations are so difficult for students to adjust to, that homework and things are not done regularly. That's the big negative. The positive is that Chico Unified recognized this a number of years ago. And one of the things that I voted for, along with the rest of the board, you know, a single board member can't do anything on their own. But the board at the time, when we voted to put into place people at each school site, targeted case managers, we call them, and we are continuing to fund them through our LCAP. And what they are is a person at each school that gets to know the students, and if the student is struggling with housing, with homelessness, they work with them to help make sure that all community resources and things are made available to them, that they know about them. The other thing that we've done with our ESSER dollars, these COVID relief funds, is we hired a homelessness and foster child liaison. This is a full-time person. Her expertise is dealing with homelessness and foster kids and their parents, and providing resources so that right now we don't have any unhoused students, meaning everybody has a roof over their head, even if it's, you know, not ideal. We do occasionally have some that fall out of housing and end up in one of our homeless shelters, or actually on the street. And we have this person that will go out and immediately make sure that that student is in school, getting fed, and that within a day or two, that family is put in a situation where they have a roof over their head. So that's part of, yes, it was there before. Yes, we are, in fact, one of the highest ACEs scoring counties in the state. So we've always had a lot of kiddos that, you know, that struggle through difficult home situations, students who suddenly find a parent being incarcerated, so that the child is then without, you know, without an adult, or just an adult, because some family members act as guardians. But we have been able to put rescue plans in place for those kids to make sure that the most important thing happens, and that is that they come to school and are fed and safe, that we provide them with what they need to let them know that they matter.
Right.
And that's a big job, but it's what we have to do to make sure that every child every day is helped.
And it's a big job, because the number is staggering. And just to underscore, 500 students. This is not 500 students in Butte County. This is 500 students in Chico Unified School District. So this is not Butte County. 500 students are considered homeless. Eileen Robinson, I only have another minute or so with you, but I can't choose which question I'd like to ask you, so I'm going to squish them together and throw them both at you, and you can answer it any way you want. And so I wanted to just sort of throw it at you, you know, this idea that with the pandemic, we have just seen the nastiest rise of local politics. And it hit, as I've mentioned, you know, in past programs on right here on The Real Issue, you know, we have watched during the pandemic, the school boards have just been nuts. And it's irrational, and it's I don't want to say uncivilized, but it's uncivil. It is not, you know, working in a democratic process, and it's just it's hard to watch. And you have been the target of it, as well as school board members all across the country. So so that's part of this question that I'm this Frankenstein question that I'm creating right now is, how do you deal with that? But also, I want to throw this at you. You've been on the board for 12 years. And as you mentioned, this is a big, big, big job. It's a lot of big, you know, problems to deal with. At what point, when do you say, what is it you feel like you need to accomplish within the school district where you've said, I've contributed what I want to contribute. I can now move on. It's clearly not this year, but what is it you want to accomplish during this next term?
Wow.
Sorry.
let me answer the first part of your question first about what had been some uncivil behavior at school board meetings, and I'm gonna lay the blame for that on the school board. And it's not that we did anything wrong; it's that we didn't do enough right, and that is getting information to our public, to our parents, so that they have a full understanding of the issues and can understand their reactions and the depth of what they're feeling, to the point where they're asking for things that can actually happen. So often they were coming to us with issues that we weren't even responsible for, and that has to be frustrating to a member of the public, to be wanting a body to do something and that governing body, it's not in their realm of responsibility. So I don't hold any of that against anyone. I appreciate that people are interested in public education, and then feel my responsibility for making sure that we are transparent and that we get as much information to our public as possible. On the one about when am I going to feel like I'm done, I don't know. I think when I can honestly say I don't know that I have whatever it takes to continue to contribute at the level that it needs to be, because education is never over.
Yeah.
I will be involved I'll be involved until the voters say, you don't need to be involved anymore.
Thanks. We've gotten everything we need.
Yes.
Right. Got it. Yeah. It's a big job. And as you said, it's very dynamic. Overseeing, you know, the fiscal and basically the fiscal part of a school district. So I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go on.
One of the things I wanted to mention was that even though we've been divided into these areas and districts, nothing has changed. When you're elected, you're a school board member for Chico Unified School District, and every one of those 12,000 kids is your kid to make the best decisions possible for.
Right.
You don't just represent the group that voted for you. You represent every single child in the school district and their parent. It's a unified district, and you have to take that approach to your job on the school board, is to make sure you're doing the best for all of them.
Eileen Robinson, where can people find out more about you and your campaign?
I have a website, Robinson for CUSD, and there are a number of things on there. Doesn't cover my farm background, but, you know, I grew up in Capay, milking cows.
Right.
So I haven't come very far away from my farm and 4-H roots. But my attitude about other issues related to school are on that Robinson for CUSD website.
Eileen Robinson, candidate and incumbent for the Chico Unified School District. She's running for Area 5 this time because we have newly created districts. Eileen yes. Robinson, thank you so much for your time. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. I always learn something when I talk with you.
Thank you, Sue. I appreciate being able to share.
Right on. Okay. I'll talk with you next time. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to talk with Chico Unified School District candidate to represent Area 1, and that is Scott Thompson. You are listening to The Real Issue on KZFR Radio.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be. Don't know much about geography. Don't know much trigonometry. Don't know much about algebra. Don't know what a sliding rule is for. But I do know what it was too. And if this one could be with you, what a wonderful world this would be. Now, I don't claim to be an A student, but I'm trying to be. For maybe by being an A student, baby, I can win your love for me. Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be. La ta 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 ta.
Right, we are back. You are listening to The Real Issue on KZFR Radio. We are based right here in Chico, California. My name is Sue Hildebrand. So in the next few, we're going to continue with our election, midterm election coverage. And, I got my music all goofed up. Okay, here we go. Sorry about that. In the next few weeks, we will focus on the ballot propositions, both local ballot propositions as well as statewide propositions. But tonight, we're going to continue with our discussion about Chico Unified School District. Right now, we're going to focus on Area 1. Scott Thompson has declared his candidacy to represent the northwest part of the district, the Northwest District, Area 1 on the Chico Unified School Board. I am happy to welcome you to The Real Issue, Scott Thompson.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me.
So, Scott, I want to just jump right in here. You are a first-time candidate, and so maybe folks have not know, they don't know you. Maybe they're not familiar with you. Give us just an introduction of who you are, kind of the big picture. And then, of course, I'm going to ask you, why are you running for the Chico Unified School Board of Trustees? Who are you?
Yeah, sure. So I'm a Chico native. You're born and raised in Chico. I've been here my whole life. So I went through the full CUSD system myself. And now I've got kids going through the system currently, going through schools. And so I am working here in Butte County, working for Butte County as a manager of facilities for a department here with the county. I've been doing that kind of facility management, construction management for pretty much my whole professional career here in town. And just looking to get, more associated with things that my family's doing, looking to get in more to part of the kind of the way of getting, helping organize what my kids are doing, jumping in and helping to shape what they're going to be, what their future's going to look like. So the school board made sense to me at the time.
Right. And so I want to go a little bit deeper into that. You mentioned this is your first time running for office, and it's hard. I know that people think it's easy. When I run for office, it's going to be really easy. I'm going to make it look really easy. It's hard. And so I do want to go back and just ask you, you got a good life going on. You got a good job. You got a great family. Why would you take this step?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I get that a lot, actually. My friends, family, people that know me are kind of, asking the same thing. And so when I do go to answer it, basically I look back at there's my own kind of reasons, my own family reasons, my own kids. I have five children. They're all going to be going through school, but there's also been kind of a shift, it seems like, in the country in the last few years, sort of a scary shift in my opinion, towards kind of school boards being looked at as ways to get in to local boards, local decision making bodies that can sort of bring in probably not a populist view, but maybe kind of more of a view of a minority of people. But it's sort of an easy way to get in. I mean, some of these races were going to be ran uncontested if nobody joined up. I believe my district one, I don't believe there was going to be anyone else who was going to run for the board in this area. And when I heard that, I thought that it would be an important thing to try to jump into and run and just see if I could help make a change in a direction that I would rather see for my family and for other parents mm-hmm. and students in the area.
Scott Thompson, I think I read on your website that you do have five children. And I think it's some of the statistics that you threw out, I think, or not statistics, but math, I thought were very interesting, where you said you have five children and they will all go through the Chico school system. And so you will spend not only the amount of time that you spent at the Chico Unified School District system,
right,
but you will spend 25 years. Talk about that. You mentioned earlier you wanted to get involved with the school system, and your kids are going to be involved. Talk about why. What is it? What are the problems that you see? What are you? What? How can you contribute?
Yeah. You're right. So I kind of did the math real quickly as soon as I kind of thought about running for school board, and I realized pretty quickly by the time my 1.5-year-old graduates high school. Yeah, like you said, I will have kids in the USD for 25 years, which is can be a large portion of my life and my family's life here. And so, it's a pretty big deal. We're looking at diagnoses for four of our five kids for autism. We're currently finishing up, or we're in the middle of most of them. They've been taking a long time. The pandemic put a kind of a big roadblock in the middle of getting our diagnoses figured out once we realized that we needed to start looking into that. But we do have IEPs in place for one of our children right now. IEP is an individualized education plan, which is something that will follow them through school throughout their whole career, that will help them get the services and the attention that they need to have a successful and equitable education experience. And so, if I'm going to have, if we're going to have 4 out of 5 kids going through school, put it with potential IEPs the whole time, I'm interested in the special education department that we have now, the special education funds that are coming through the state, and any kind of help that I could assist in helping shape that special education, a program for kids like mine and like plenty of other kids in town that are going to have the same kinds of things going on, other parents that are experiencing the same thing that we're experiencing right now.
Scott Thompson, I hadn't heard the acronym IEP, and when you and I talked recently, you had mentioned that it's individualized educational program, and I've been thinking about it a lot lately, and we generally think about grades and test scores, and you have to jump through the hoops. But I want to ask you to talk about the fact that you do have 4 children that are currently in the process of being diagnosed with autism. Talk about the value of these individualized educational programs and how you see the public education system working in this sort of this new world that we have. I mean, again, we've been talking about the pandemic and how that really got in the way of progress in terms of academic progress, social, emotional progress. So talk about the value of those individualized educational programs.
Yeah, definitely. You're right. A lot of these things are new developments. I mean, even going back, 10, 15 years with autism as being sort of a newer development. I mean, obviously it was around, but it wasn't as prevalent in the day to day. I mean, we have a 12-year-old daughter who's going through junior high right now who we didn't know was likely autistic until she was like 10 years old. I mean, this was just a couple of years ago. And so she went through most of her grade school years without any kind of assistance. And she happens to be sort of a different flavor of autism from the rest of our kids, where she actually really excelled in school. But it was almost stressful for her because she was so regimented in her schooling that she was stressing herself out by making sure she got like a 4.0. And so that's another type of, she could probably benefit from an IEP just to help her with stresses and that kind of thing and anxiety. But to go back to your other points, IEPs it's a legal thing that the special education department is going to put through with these kids. It is becoming more and more prevalent with more and more diagnoses of things like autism. So IEPs are becoming more and more of a thing in school. The pandemic did bring this to light, which was kind of a good and bad thing. Obviously, pandemic related issues have been a huge problem in the education system in California or in the whole country. But California did earmark $1 billion last year in special education funds to try to kind of address things like this with new more diagnosed things like autism and other special education or disabilities or whatever is going on. So that's a hopeful thing that we can look forward to earmarking those funds for things. But again, the Board of Education is going to have to help earmark those funds for programs and what they're going to be used for. And so again, if I'm in there, if we're in there and we're able to help make better decisions on the board, that those funds can go towards maybe newer, better therapies for kids or better things that would work better than things that have been not working so well in the past. And so I'm interested in seeing how that money can be moved around and used for the best.
Yeah. I mean, our community has really experienced so much trauma. I go back to, the campfire and the pandemic and the folks that are, what those events did is that it didn't create these issues, but in some fundamental ways, it exposed these issues and exacerbated these issues. And so we're really dealing with a whole lot. And I think a lot of our folks, a lot of our little ones, really do need that specialized attention. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Real Issue on KZFR Radio. I have Scott Thompson on the phone with me. He is running to represent Area 1 of the Chico Unified School District Board of. He is running to become a trustee on the Board of Trustees. Scott Thompson, one of the things that you mentioned early on in this conversation was that you don't. you don't like sort of the I don't remember exactly the word you used, but you don't like the tone, or you know the school board meetings have gotten a bit loud, and you even mentioned that you did not want Area 1 to be an uncontested race. You wanted at least the you know it to be a challenged race where there was some sort of competition. How do you see this this a lot of the uncivil language that is coming out in these school board meetings? And so just generally speaking, do you have that kind of personality where you can just run with that? And more importantly, how do you see yourself participating in getting that relaxing, that kind of frenetic energy in something as really quite sacred as our school system?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it too. That is sort of what I would have thought that the school system was you know kind of more sacred, at least when I was going through school here, and even up until a few years ago, it sort of felt like school boards were a benevolent force that were always there for the greater good, there to represent the majority of the parents and all of the students that were there for the best education that they can get, with the most inclusion and equity that they could possibly provide. But in the last few years, like I said, obviously the pandemic exacerbated this greatly. But even, just within the last 9 months or so, there's been a massive uptick in banning of books, which the books were related to, LGBTQ and race, identity, politics, that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it really feels like a lot of adults dragging a lot of their own kind of biases into the school systems, and, which, frankly, you're moving towards indoctrination at that point with kids that are young and teaching them the values that you think are important, which are, generally not, they're pretty negative. And so watching all that unfold, I mean, I'm not a passive, political person, so I'm definitely watching that happen. And like I said, 25 years in the school district with my 5 kids, I want to make sure that they are going to have the best options for education as possible. I mean, if any of my kids, turned out to be, any other kind of, if they have any other kind of lifestyle that they want to lead, I want to make sure that they feel included. Inclusivity is what we're trying to provide with the schools, so they're a safe environment that they can go to and play whatever sports they want to play, whatever teams they want to play on, kind of thing. And so, yeah, it became an important thought of mine to try to make sure that this wasn't just an uncontested race, that there was another option out there that the voters could choose that would make sure that would be a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Scott Thompson, where can people... Well, first of all, what did I forget to ask you that you thought, oh, I definitely want to get this into the conversation? And then also, where can people find out more about you?
Yeah, great. Thank you. I listened to the majority of Eileen's interview before this, and she is a great, great resource. A 12-year board member going for her another 4, and so I'm sure that she covered the majority of everything that we're thinking about. I mean, she is just an amazing resource of knowledge. I mean, I'm sure I don't know if she got into it, but beyond just her 12 years on the board, she was been involved in the school districts for like 30 years as a career, and so. I'm guessing you guys covered everything. I'm not going to bring anything new to the table at this point, being a new candidate. But I do appreciate the previous questions. If people want to reach out to me, I do have a Facebook page out there, which is Scott Thompson for Board of Education. I also have a website that is Thompson, the number 4, CUSD.com. It's a little bare right now, but there's a donations button on there. The donations buttons were going to help us get mailers out, postcards, yard signs that are going to be going up here. We just received those, actually. And, one of the things I just want to throw out there just to make sure everyone's aware of is that I do have the endorsement of a couple of different organizations, one of which is the Chico Unified Teachers Association, has endorsed myself, Tom Lando, and Eileen Robinson, mm-hmm. which I think is a great slate of the 3 of us, mm-hmm. To represent them. Also, obviously, the Labor Federation Board, some other organizations have endorsed us as candidates, myself included. And so I just want to make sure that your listeners are aware of that as well.
And that with a spoken like a politician, even though you're not yet considering yourself a politician, you got to get your endorsements in there. So, Scott Thompson, I assume that you will be at the candidate forum on the 27th of September at the Masonic Hall in Chico.
That's right. I'll be there.
All right. And all the rest of the candidates will be there as well. Scott Thompson, you can find more about Scott at Thompson4CUSD. And I think you said com?
Yes.
Right on. Scott Thompson, thank you so much for your time. And it's hard running for office, so I applaud you for jumping into the ring and participating in democracy. I hope I talk with you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we're gonna. This brings us to the end of this edition of The Real Issue. Just as a quick reminder, the Oroville City Council, Mayor, and Treasurer, you can watch that candidate forum next week at this time, 7 o'clock next Wednesday via Zoom. And then Paradise Council and Paradise Parks and Rec is next week from tomorrow. That's in person. And then the following week, or on the 27th, I think that's a Tuesday, Chico City Council and Chico Unified School Districts will have their candidate forum at the Masonic Hall in Chico. And I'll keep updating you week by week. This edition of The Real Issue, which is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Farmstar Pizza, where the farmer is the star. Farmstar uses products from local farms and ranches to support community agriculture. They are open every day for lunch and dinner, and they have curbside pickup. They're located at 2359 on the Esplanade here in Chico. For details, you can find Farmstar Pizza on Facebook and at farmstarpizza.com. We, of course, will be back here next week. We will do more election coverage. Want to make sure you know that the week of October 10th, ballots will be mailed. Of course, everywhere in California, it is all mail-in balloting. So you'll receive your ballot sometime the week of October 10th. I strongly encourage you to quickly take it out of the mailbox, fill it out, throw it in the mailbox so that you don't forget. It's an important election coming up, as every election is generally important. It's participating in our democratic process. It is not too late to register to vote either. Maybe that's what we'll do next week. We'll talk about easiest way to register to vote. I know that you can go to, I think it's buttevotes.org, something like that. But we'll get that next time. But don't forget, it's coming up. We'll be back here next week. And until then, Let's see. What are we going to play on the way out? Oh, yeah, I got to play this. Got to play this. Until next week, peace out.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.